Imagine surviving the unimaginable, a bloody massacre that claims everyone around you. Now imagine being forced into an exclusive club you never wanted to join. This is the reality for Quincy Carpenter, who walked out of Pine Cottage 10 years ago as the lone survivor after five friends were brutally murdered. Though she remembers nothing of that night, she's been branded as one of the final girls, a term borrowed from horror movies for the last girl standing. Lisa Milner survived a sorority house bloodbath 9 years earlier, while Samantha Boyd escaped the Sackman Motel killings. Three women connected by trauma they never asked for, and a media that won't let them forget it. While Lisa embraced her survivor status, becoming a public advocate, Quincy has constructed a seemingly perfect life. Successful baking blog, handsome boyfriend Jeff, beautiful Manhattan apartment, all held together by Xanax and her relationship with Coop, the officer who saved her that night. But when Lisa is found dead in her bathtub and the mysterious Sam appears at Quincy's door, the carefully constructed facade begins to crumble. What if normal is just another mask? What if the past refuses to stay buried? Quincy's kitchen functions as both sanctuary and stage, where precise measurements promise predictable outcomes in her once chaotic world. Her baking blog serves as therapy, her first commandment being, baking is better than therapy. Through meticulous recipes, chocolate cherry Halloween cupcakes with symmetrical buttercream spiders, uniform macarons, she creates order from chaos. Yet beneath this perfectly frosted exterior, cracks appear. Quincy compulsively steals small items, iPhones, designer sunglasses, keeping these trophies in a locked drawer, a physical archive of her fractured psyche. Her relationship with Jeff maintains the appearance of intimacy while keeping him emotionally distant, their conversations never venturing beyond safe topics. When Sam witnesses these hidden behaviors, she expresses relief at finding something dark underneath all that happy homemaker bullshit. Her presence forces Quincy to question whether her elaborate normalcy is merely performance. Are we ever truly healed, or do we just become better at hiding our wounds? "I remember fragments," Quincy repeatedly tells Sam, who cynically questions whether repressed memories are real. The most haunting aspect of Quincy's trauma isn't what she remembers, it's what she doesn't. Her memories stop when Janelle emerges from the woods covered in blood and resume only when she's running through the forest towards safety. Everything between remains a black void therapy hasn't penetrated. This amnesia serves as both protection and prison, shielding her from horrors while preventing her from processing them. The question of her memory's authenticity becomes crucial as new evidence emerges about that night at Pine Cottage. Flashbacks reveal fragments, the group arriving in high spirits, tension between friends, a mysterious stranger named Joe, complicated relationships. When Sam forces Quincy to return to Pine Cottage, sensory triggers unlock doors in her mind sealed for a decade. The revelation that her memories were manipulated forces a confrontation with how trauma reshapes both our present and our understanding of the past. After surviving horror, who do you become? Each final girl responds differently. Lisa embraces her survivor status as identity. Quincy hides behind domestic perfection. Sam uses trauma as armor to justify self-destruction. The novel questions authenticity after catastrophe. Have these women healed, evolved, or merely learned to perform new versions of themselves? This identity crisis peaks when Quincy unconsciously grabs a knife during an argument with Sam, becoming aware only when Sam cowers in fear. "Quincy, who are you?" Sam asks. "I don't know," is all Quincy can answer. Her carefully constructed identity shatters. Trauma survivors don't simply recover. They must construct entirely new identities. The question becomes whether these new selves represent growth or merely elaborate coping mechanisms, while their true selves remain frozen at the moment of trauma. When your life's foundation cracks, what do you build on the ruins? And is what you've built authentic or just another form of hiding? Despite minimal contact through emails and calls on trauma anniversaries, the final girls share an unspoken bond. When Lisa dies, Quincy's genuine grief reveals the invisible threads connecting survivors of extraordinary violence. Jeff calls them kindred spirits, though Quincy insists they were merely victims with nothing else in common. This reluctant sisterhood intensifies with Sam's arrival. Quincy initially resists Sam's attempts to connect through shared trauma, preferring her carefully constructed normalcy. Yet she finds herself drawn to Sam's unapologetic embrace of damage, an authenticity Quincy both envies and fears. Their increasingly reckless behavior gives Quincy a connection she's never felt before. The revelation that Sam is actually Tina Stone, a psychiatric patient who knew Johannan, transforms their relationship from shared experience to manipulation. Yet even this deception contains elements of genuine connection as both seek closure. Their twisted sisterhood ultimately leads them back to Pine Cottage, where final pieces fall into place amid blood-soaked memories. Sometimes only those who've walked through similar darkness truly understand us, even when that understanding comes wrapped in deception. Who can you trust when violence shatters your world? Quincy maintains emotional distance from everyone. Jeff remains unaware of her compulsive stealing, nightmares, and memory loss. Her relationship with her mother fractured after forced psychiatric treatment. Even Coop, seemingly her most reliable support, knows only what Quincy deliberately shares. The novel's most devastating revelation is that Coop, the heroic officer who rescued Quincy, was the killer all along. His manipulation extended to targeting all final girls, ultimately killing both Lisa and the real Samantha when they began uncovering his involvement. This twist forces complete re-examination of every relationship. What appeared as Coop's protective behavior was possessive control. His dislike of Sam wasn't concern, but calculated jealousy. His constant presence wasn't support, but surveillance. Yet isolation isn't sustainable either. Through her relationship with Tina, who, despite initial deception, helps uncover the truth, Sager suggests the real challenge for trauma survivors is learning to distinguish genuine allies from threats. When Quincy returns to Pine Cottage, suppressed memories resurface. She recalls being stabbed and seeing Joe beside Amy's body. When he noticed her, he claimed he'd heard screams, prompting Quincy to flee into the woods. In the present, she realizes Joe wasn't the killer. As this revelation hits, Coop appears and shoots Tina. He confesses to writing the threatening letter to bring Quincy back when she was straying too far. He admits killing Lisa, who suspected him after investigating Pine Cottage, and murdering the real Samantha after finding her weak. As Coop strangles her, Tina pushes a knife toward Quincy. In a cathartic moment, Quincy stabs Coop twice, twisting the blade as he dies, finally embracing her identity as a fucking final girl. 4 months later, Quincy has left Jeff, rebuilt her website, and begun quitting Xanax. True healing comes from integrating trauma into identity, not forgetting it. The novel shows that survival is ongoing. Being a final girl means defining yourself beyond trauma's boundaries and walking with your shadows rather than running from them.